and welcome to the Tech and Toast podcast. We simplify the way you buy and manage your hospitality tech. You can click through to techontoast.community where you can search our marketplace, attend our events, grab your free tech audit, and we will help you visualize your tech stack as you grow into 2024. Meanwhile, summer in Australia.
Hey, Louis, do you think we should sponsor the Tech on Toast podcast? I mean, I really like Chris, and I really like what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that's a ripper idea, LP. It's a perfect fit for what we do at Red Cat.
I mean, I agree. I'm just not sure how we get our message across around, like, Red Cat specializing in multi-site groups, you know, like cafe groups and fast casual groups and QSRs and all that.
Maybe we mention some of our customers like Nando's in Australia, New Zealand, the restaurants at the Aussie Open, Boost Juice International. I mean, they've got over 700 sites.
Hang on. I think that was the sponsors. This is the Tech on Toast podcast. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the next episode of the Tech on Toast podcast. And this week, I'm delighted to be joined by Mike Radley, co-founder of Jolly App. Mike, how are you?
Good, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Last time I saw you, I think, was at the Katie's, no? Were you at the Katie's?
It was the Katie's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. In our Dicky Bows?
God, yeah, in our Dicky Bows. Did I have a Dicky Bow? I did.
Yeah, yeah, you're looking very dapper. Me neither, mate. It was really awkward.
I actually showered that day.
Oh, that's nice. But yeah, it was an interesting night. I found those events quite... I've got to be really careful that I don't state these events online. But I found them... You sat down a lot, and you get a room full of really cool people, like all different type influencers from the industry and operators, and it's really hard to talk to them because you're kind of stuck at your table till midnight.
Kind of agree, yeah. There were so many like celebrity chefs there, and I was like, oh, I can't go pitch them, couldn't I? I just don't get near them because they're just so... busy on the other side of the room, but
we were busy having our seven courses. But anyway, I digress. Tell me a little bit about you. So, look, I mean, I know you've got Jolly App, and there's a lot that's happened before that.
Yes.
So let's have a little. Let's learn a bit about you over the last. I don't know. How far back do you want to go?
God, yeah. Starting from what when I was born. No, we're not going too far back. So my background is in, I guess, hospitality. First job was a KP, which I absolutely loved. Just loved that kind of like being in a hospitality environment in the kitchen and seeing how all the different parts of a restaurant comes together with the end product being what's served to the guests. So I fell in love with it a little bit at an early age, but I guess I didn't really come back to hospitality until, well, I guess kind of in it, but went to uni like most people. I got a job whilst at uni promoting nightclub events, handing out wristbands and tickets and all that.
Ah, you were the guy, were you?
That was me on the street corner trying to get people in. So I did that whilst at uni and actually stayed in Southampton where I was to actually run nightclub events, student events, which, funny enough, we talk about influencers now, but back then I guess they were called promoters. Running guest lists for
really weirdly
to get people in. Yeah, I know.
Last night I was listening to a 90s playlist last night.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I don't know if you're hopping back to the 90s or not. but I was talking to my missus about it, just saying how exciting a club night was then. Like, you know, you had the flyer was the only real promotion. You had the guys on the street, you know, doing their thing, and it was a real there's like an oversubscribed feeling to it that you can't get in, or you need to get in, you know, that the first FOMO, whatever it is these days. But do you know what I mean? But like, it's just that real feel of wanting to belong to something. And I think that's, I don't know if it's changed over the years or if I'm just missing it, or it's digitally, it's different.
It's just different, isn't it? Like back then, I guess we had an army of promoters, you know, 50 odd promoting a nightclub event where they'd go out and go around their halls, gathering up all their friends to come in.
Was it literally just bums on seats? Like literally just get as many as you can to go
get
turn
commission
up
for every single person that came in on the guest list. Well, they got £1 per person, I think, that came through the door.
It's not bad actually. At uni, that's all right.
Funny enough, there was like, it was a capacity venue I was working for at the time. It was only about 400 capacity, but we ended up getting like 1,000 people through the door every night just by getting in all the societies in early, and then you'd get like the rest of people in town coming in later on, which was just really interesting. But yeah, I look back on that and there's similarities, I guess,
because basically you were running a pyramid scheme at university.
There you go, it's affiliate marketing, like we call it.
Yeah, but it's true, isn't it? And I think that's, I think people quickly forget about how good marketing, how skillful those marketers were back in the day without the digital means they have now, actually. And actually, a lot of the principles they applied then, like we just literally briefly spoke about, could be applied now, right? But you've got even more reach because of the ability of the internet.
Yeah, and all they were doing was just putting stuff out on Facebook, like, who wants to come to this event? And, you know, like, you'd create an event on Facebook, they put their name on the wall, like, +2, whatever, it's just hilarious. But it's just changed so much now. But still that kind of, like, you know, top of funnel, like, how are we going to get people into a venue? I guess now it's just TikTok and Instagram, but more emphasis on the quality of content they're producing, yeah. because you can't just put up a Facebook status or a Twitter.
Yeah, I found out that doesn't work as well
no,
now.
No, it's changed, and it's absolutely mad how far it's come. But yeah, I did that after uni. I then fell into sales. I fell into selling different types of products and services into hospitality industry. And then I guess where I met Jamie, my co-founder, was at Trail, who you know really well. We kind of had this idea for an app that kind of bridged that gap between brands and influencers. I guess I experienced some of it on the influencer side. I don't claim to be a good one, but I built a bit of a following on Instagram over a couple of years just as a side hustle. Taking pictures of food, putting on Instagram, and getting more and more invites from brands and agencies. And I was like, wow, this is just crazy. Like, my dad used to call me and go, oh, there's more deliveries have turned up at the door. Free boxes everywhere. I'd be like, okay. But then, you know, there's thousands of other kind of like smaller micro influencers. I'm sure we'll talk about this more in a minute, but thousands of them out there. But I guess I experienced as an influencer, like getting all these invites, but really, like, once I've, you know, found something I like and I want to actually collaborate with that brand, it just took far too long for that collaboration and booking to actually be arranged.
Yeah, and I think being operators, I mean, unless you're very lucky and you hire in a digital marketer who is just like kick ass and gets it all very quickly and can switch on, I think they find it hard, right? Because they don't have huge marketing teams, they don't have digital marketing teams, the smaller guys for sure. And I think they're really good at understanding their customer and their experience. But how do you translate that into the marketing world? It's very difficult.
There's like this meme going around, and it's like, you know, a social media manager saying what they do, and someone going, oh, you just sit on Facebook or Instagram all day. And it's just like, no, there is so much involved in just being a social media manager. But like you said, most businesses don't really have the luxury of having a marketing team, let alone a social media team. So
it's quite a creative role, I would imagine. As in, to be that. So we have a young lady called Saskia who works for us at Hollow, and Sass is just really like, she just gets it. Her Insta, you know, when you look at someone's personal Instagram, and that she just gets it. She has a great eye. She sees things really well, and she also sees products before they're born. If you know what I mean, she can really visualize. And I think those kind of people are very rare or very expensive.
Totally, yeah. Like, there's community management. There's like social listening. There's, you know, you got to keep up with engaging with other accounts. Content creation is a big beast on its own. So then you've got influencers chucking that into the mix. It's a bit of a beast. So yeah, I think where we see kind of influencers for hospitality brands and where there was a gap was, I guess, we're a management tool for them to manage influencer campaigns a bit more efficiently, but ultimately let them do all the creative and the kind of the legwork when it comes to actually creating content, because that's the thing that takes the most amount of time.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of just, you know, oversee and manage it. That's basically where we're up to. So yeah.
So yeah, what I mean, I should have asked you. What's your if you had to pitch Jolly App to me now, like, I don't, you know, I'm an operator sitting here with my open checkbook. What's the best way to describe it?
Yeah, well, so we're an influencer marketing app, designed specifically for hospitality, and why we kind of are deliberate in that. And there's just loads of software and tools out there where you can, I guess, discover influencers, but there wasn't really anything that handled the end-to-end booking and comms process.
Yeah.
So we just integrated to Access Collins or Design My Night, for example, Toggle, one of our partners. So how that would work is we essentially go out and vet and curate all these influencers. We match them to brands based on what brands' requirements are, or their goals, but it's normally around a blended spectrum of things, but normally like reach, followers, engagement rate, categories of creators, which is really important, even dietary requirements. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Where they're based, I guess if you want a hyper locality around your marketing, local footfall, then that also comes into it as well. So we go out and do that vetting.
Yeah.
We bring them onto the platform. It's a two-sided marketplace. On one hand, you've got the mobile app for creators. They are essentially matched offers to them based on what they do. They can then see it when they choose to work with a brand or not. They apply or reach out. A brand can then accept them. And then from that point onwards, like, the booking process is pretty much automated now, which is great. So it saves brands heaps of time on outreach, I guess, where they have struggled in the past. Maybe if there's anyone listening that is doing it themselves, is like, great, yeah, when we book them in, I've then got to worry about, you know, what was their feedback, you know, when are they going to post their content, if they're going to post their content, and then have I got any data or anything to kind of report back on how well this has performed or not. So we kind of solve that for them as well, just trying to make it more measurable.
And I think the influencer, I suppose, boom over the last, 10 years?
Yeah.
Any further? I don't know if it's that further back than that. I mean, there's always been influencers, right? But in terms of this what we're talking about here, and I think there's always been people are wary, you know, or have been stung by people who may just say, yeah, I'll take a picture, and then they nip in. My friend of mine runs a dark kitchen. He's got about 15 brands, and he's looking for people to push them out, right, and get more eyes on them. And he's got a person working for him doing that, an influencer, and he's disappointed in some of the quality he's getting. But I guess it's tough, and I guess one of the things you are fixing is that expectation of what I want and what you can deliver.
Yeah, massive disconnect. When I first started this, the idea goes back well over 2 years. We actually launched last year. But even before that, when we first started, I remember a street food stall telling me that, you know, they would rather jump off a cliff than work with influencers. I was like, oh, that's pretty strong. And then I don't have that pushback anymore, which is a really good sign. But I can kind of guess where that was coming from, in that influencers just want free food. What's it doing for my business? I don't get it. I think any operator or any like hospitality business needs to understand, well, money is being spent on marketing in some ways. I just believe that it's probably over time been spent on one thing where they've not really caught up with that shift from things like traditional PR to social media. It's definitely a time and a place for like a snippet in the Metro.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, the amount of billions of users on TikTok and Instagram that are just scrolling all day. I mean, I do it, I sit on the toilet just on TikTok. Just like that.
The but details there, that's there important.
That's important. But that is your shop window as a hospitality brand now. And if you think about it, you don't have to pay influencers. I think some of those do charge, and I guess there's blurred lines there, which, you know, it's on us to educate that industry on what's acceptable and what's your ROI. But broadly, there are a lot of hospitality brands already doing it. It's been going on for a couple of years, and that they'll just seed or gift a complimentary experience in the hope that these influencers have a good time and want to post about it to their audience. Like, that costs them, what, a free burger?
Yeah.
It's not that expensive.
No, and I think it's valuable, right? Because I think I was talking to Feed It Back, who also, I was talking about feedback being a gift, right? Yes. You're really lucky to have it because you can't improve without it. And in a way, you guys are not the same, but similar in the fact that you are also providing feedback from people who hold an audience and people who can help kind of move you forward. And I think it is crucial that they actually get that experience that they can talk about rather than just, you know, a one-dimensional post.
Totally. The way we consume media is just totally different now. Like, it's these, you know, short form videos that that perform the best on social media, you know, over highly styled photography shoots or, you know, like more traditional like stock images that were perhaps used on social. It just doesn't work anymore.
Is there a magic formula to that? I mean, everyone will ask you this, I'm sure, all the time.
I mean, a lot of our customers will vouch for this. Like, I would say that quite a lot of our customers use the influencers to come in and create the content. We call them like creators with influence, really. Yeah. There's blurred lines now with influencers and content creators, but we love working with those smaller nano and micro influencers that will come in and create like wonderful content in a kind of user-generated content style, but it's got like an element of style and thought behind it. You know, like nice voice overs, like a trending audio track. The whole experience is showed off, you know, with a really clear hook in the first 3 seconds. Like, they know what they're doing. They know what performs well, and let them do it. I think that's important. I think when we get too focused on the kind of like outcome with the content style and try and direct them too much, it loses that authenticity.
I think we have to
let them crack on.
We're insanely bad at giving away the keys, right? I think outsourcing generally in hospitality has always been a bit of a challenge, because I think that they just... It's a bit like Vietnam. You don't know, man. You weren't there. You know, it's a bit like, it's their product. It's their restaurant. It's their thing.
Yeah, they're social media experts.
Yeah, but that's the problem. You've got people who actually really know what they're doing and can, you know, quite quickly prove ROI. I had an email yesterday from someone telling me they could improve my YouTube by X5 or something. You're laughing. I'm guessing it's not true. Improve my YouTube by X5 by doing this, that, and that, and sharing what I do. But I was thinking, God, how do you do that so quick? But is there a quick route to success?
In terms of ROI?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's definitely, with influencers, like I always say, like, this is part of a social media strategy that a brand needs to have. And I think you need to have a clear goal on like why you're using influencers as well.
Yeah.
Like, some it might just be like, look, we are really stretched marketing team. I haven't got time to go and create all this content. Like, I just don't have the resource. So let's use creators to come in, give them a free burger, and great, we get some content for it that not only performs well on social media on their channel, we can reuse it in other ways for ads, for example, which we know is doing well. So that's one thing. It could be like, I mean, it's still brand awareness, right? The main thing. I think you could run competitions, for example, where it could drive new followers to a particular page. But I kind of liken it to, I guess, like blog articles in the... It still happens, right? But it's like, right, I just need to get our brand featured in as many blog posts as possible to drive traffic to the website. That's how you need to kind of look at it from a smaller micro and nano influencer campaign. It's like, let's just get lots of content. That drives awareness from TikTok search and Instagram when someone's going, you know, Lebanese restaurant or bottomless brunch in London to my Instagram or TikTok page. And then we worry about what content we're creating to ultimately drive conversions with bookings and sales. That's kind of how I look at it.
And in terms of who you actually speak to then, or who the influencer, targeting diners, how hard is that to do? Like, how specific can you be in terms of, I want to zero in on middle-aged men, but who wants to? No one does. Between 35 and 50, you know. Is that easy to do, or is that quite a tough...
Still limited, I guess, where what we do is we integrate to TikTok and Instagram, for example, in that once an influencer can access socials to our platform, we've got all their data. So we can see, you know, hyper-locality, but not as far as like a village or town.
Yeah.
We can see predominantly where their audience is based, you know, like London, Sheffield, Leeds, for example. And I guess where you can like kind of really focus in is like these niche categories. So now on our app, you can set up a campaign where you can target influencers based on where they're geographically based and their audience is, but also their like style of content and their category. So Hawksmoor just signed up, shout out Hawksmoor, and they said to me, like, we're going to drive, you know, like family influencers to promote our Sunday roasts, because that's where we're noticing that a lot of our customers on Sunday is families. So it's exactly what we've done for them, is that we're going after these mum bloggers that might not have the polished content that foodies might do.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still shows off the experience of like them, their family and their kids enjoying a roast.
And I can just see that. That's a huge load off your plate, right? Excuse the pun. there's a huge load off your plate in terms of Hawksmoor, finding someone like that. And obviously, if they become a Sunday roast customer, the likelihood is they're going to become a birthday, wedding, anniversary, whatever customer in the future, right?
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, pretty much.
And is there another example of someone else doing that? I mean, that's quite a specific one, is the Hawksmoor on Sunday roast. Is there anybody else who are using that particularly tailored approach to...
Yeah, I think you could go one further. We're still trying to work out ways. We're still learning and trying to get better, to be honest. But there's another example. We just started working with a brand based in the Middle East called Swiss Butter. And they're kind of like, if anyone knows L'Entrecôte in London, it's that kind of like steak with butter sauce and chips. And that's what we do.
Starving.
Swiss Butter have just come over to the UK, and their approach to it is like great, and they really focus on like dietary, so theirs is like halal offering, and then going and then using us, we'll go out and find, you know, like relevant influencers that are kind of like appropriate for that audience. So yeah, and their approach to influencers is great. I would encourage more people to do it. It's like, look, we'll have anyone in, we want to just show them a good time. That's it. Wow. No, like, you must do this, you must do that.
No, I think that's the thing that I was key, like, because again, we mentioned at the start, the size of your marketing team or the size of your capacity to be able to bring people to your business is always challenged, right? And I suppose, what are the big challenges you're seeing in terms of when you're talking to new customers or customers who want to come on board? What's the common theme you're getting from people?
Challenges from brands that are wanting to come onto I think ROI, obviously. I think, you know, I was speaking to Nicole at Comptoir the other day. She's come from Jägermeister, so her background e-commerce, like, it's easier to track like direct sales from like, and TikTok shops doing this as well. So for e-commerce brands, it's really easy to go, right, that influencer has driven X in sales. And I spoke to an influencer the other day, Claire, actually, Little London Vegan. She was like, oh, when I worked with Neat Burger, like, they told me that I delivered, you know, £9,000 in sales for my post. And I'm like, oh, how do I get that and prove that for everyone? And we're working on stuff, but I think it's more difficult for hospitality brands.
Because I suppose that's the ultimate for you, right? To be able to put that on your website saying, look, do this, you get that.
Yeah, it's affiliate marketing. I think that's where we're going to go with it. It's like, yes, influencers are content creators, but how can we turn them into salespeople?
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate.
A natural point for me when I was doing it is I'd get messages all the time, like, I'm taking my mum out for lunch on Sunday, where would you recommend? And I'm like, I would just give her honest, you know, recommendations. But I think if we can do something there where influencers are perhaps getting rewarded for recommendations. Yeah. There's something there. I won't give away too much, but it's something we're working on with Toggle, actually.
Oh, I think I might know what it is. I won't say anything. But like almost like raving fans, right? So yeah. People who are like, and they just get rewarded for each time they reward someone
it's
else.
Hard, cause you can try giving them discount codes and coupons, but there's just too many steps. Like, okay, I see a post, which, you know, could be me looking at a cocktail bar at 10 in the morning. It's going to be front of mind, and I know next time someone says to me, where are we going to go for cocktails, that's going to be there, right? But it's the purchasing decision of going through from that post to a bio to click on a link to then making a booking. It's still
it's too long. And what about you were talking when you were putting people in, or when influence marketing are kind of doing their thing, how much are they driving frequency as well as also they're driving awareness? But really, I suppose from an operator's point of view, you want to see trial and frequency where people actually come in, book you, and then book again.
Yeah, totally. I think influencers is like driving new customers to a business is what I say. And even if, you know, like, I mean, everywhere is like a destination spot now. Like, I think brands could just be thinking a bit more about their menu or their offering of like what's going to land really well on TikTok or Instagram. So that's new customers. But the competition's so tough, right? You've just got to be constantly pumping out good content or using creators to do it for you to stay front of mind, because it's just so competitive.
Yeah, because you can't not be there, right? Exactly. It's a bit like a trade show, right? You know, when everyone goes and does these trade shows, and I always wonder, like, you're all paying a stupid amount of money to be here amongst all of your competitors for a limited audience, potentially.
I saw that the Ritz has got over 100,000 followers on TikTok now, and they would be a brand where you'd probably be like, you know, I speak to some of them, like, I haven't got TikTok, you know, it's for kids dancing, like, it's not. It's totally changed.
So, yeah, it really has, hasn't it? Yeah. The business side, I mean, with Tech On Toast, we just signed up the other week and we're just starting to build what we want to do with it. It's hard working out which way you want to use it, but you can see the immediacy of it, or the quick, like we talk about ROI, but you can see very quickly whether you're doing the right thing or not.
Totally. I mean, it's predominantly a Gen Z platform, but millennials as well. TikTok is definitely catching up, but you know, like all of them are using TikTok as a search engine over Google now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So whenever I'm speaking to like a CEO and they're like, I don't get TikTok, we're not on it, well, tell me about it. I get them to go, describe.
The next CEO will.
Yeah, I'm like, well, describe to me your offering. And it might be like, we're a Lebanese restaurant in London. And I'm like, right, go on to TikTok search, type that in. If you don't feature in any of those posts that come, you know, in the first few pages, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
Because you're losing sales that way.
Well, they're all taking them, right?
There you go. So that's, not only can you, you know, create good content for your own platform that might rank on these search terms on an Instagram and TikTok, but that's where you use creators that have got a larger following to try and get higher up.
How much do they charge, like these kind of people? I have no idea. Like
the influencers.
Yeah,
it depends. There's different levels. I think most people, when you say influencers, think of like Love Island and like celebrities, right?
It's immediately where my head went. Yeah.
But like, there's different levels. You've got celebrity and elite, and I think the difficulty with hospitality brands in those, we might not have the budget to spend, you know, thousands of pounds per post or per collaboration. And equally, when you do that, like our argument is like, well, if you're going to get like, you know, a celebrity to do a paid partnership, it doesn't look that authentic. It looks.
Yeah.
Are you really a brand advocate? Were you just, you know, someone's deliberately paying you to do that?
It's the relevance, isn't it, as well? Like if Tommy off Tommy Fury, I know him. So if Tommy Fury suddenly starts talking about BrewDog, I don't think they're going to go there. I'm not sure that's relationship's going to work.
Yeah.
But you know, but it's quite obviously you're kind of looking at going, oh, and people are cynical, right?
Yeah.
But does it, I don't know though, but then again, if you're trying to create impressions or awareness, does it matter?
It again just depends on the goals of the brand. I think it does matter. I think, you know, hopefully in 2 years' time you'll be speaking to me again and there's more budget for like influencer marketing and social media.
That's a really good point. Is that change? Do you see that changing? Because I obviously think that I always talk about the CTO role in hospitality, because there never really used to be them, right? It was an IT director or an IT head of IT, but now the CTO role is starting, digital information officer, this kind of stuff's appearing. And it just quite naturally is going to move there, right?
Yeah, we just have to, again, it just comes down to return on investment. If you're going to spend £1,000 working with an influencer, you need to try and correlate that back to some sort of sales and bookings as well as brand awareness, I think. So I think this sweet spot of like celebrity, and you've got macro, and you've got micro and nano, which, you know, could be broadly like someone with 5,000 followers in Sheffield. Like if you were a restaurant or in Sheffield, like, and actually at that level when they're just getting started and they love all this, like, you know, gifted experiences, and they need content to promote and grow their own audiences. Like, at that level, like, you get the hyper-locality and you get kind of more relatable people that are probably in Sheffield following them going, oh, yeah, they're like me, they've got similar interests, it's more believable in their
And culture. Is that because the true benefit really is that locality, isn't it, I would imagine? So if I run a chain, for instance, I might be looking at a particular site that I'm having some problems with, or, you know, just low foot traffic, whatever it might be, but that's where the bigger wins are, I suppose.
Yeah, we need to see them as, I mean, we call creators with influence, but they're content creators first and foremost. Is like, how can we get a lot of social media ready content at scale without doing much ourselves?
Yeah.
Tick. Next bit is obviously the influence they hold. But yeah, like, there used to be, like, I guess everyone focusing on followers is the main thing.
Yeah.
We look at a blend of, basically looking for the secret ingredient, secret source of their content. Do they understand the algorithms and what's going to perform well? And it's normally a mixture of, like, the reach they hold anyway, engagement rate, the style of content's really important. We had one influencer that had 8,000 followers the other day. 2 weeks, she's on 80. Just because a couple of posts have just gone, whew. But we spotted that coming because she was creating the right content that we knew eventually, like, one of them was.
Can you introduce me, please?
I will, yeah. Foodie Lily, her name is. So shout out to her.
Have you found a tech influencer yet?
Tech influencer? You're one.
I don't think I've quite. Yeah. I've got enough content, I just don't know what to do with it. But yeah, I think that, and that's because I'm in that position, as in the fact that I talk about lots of people like you, and I have lots of content, but it's how you then, and this is why I'm talking to my friend who wants to 5X my YouTube channel, and I think it's perfectly doable probably, but it's just about finding the right person, right theme, right time, and I guess those kind of ingredients, and I'm probably in a similar position to what you're dealing with, where operators going, I don't want to pay that yet,
yeah.
I don't really see how that's really going to benefit me yet, but I know actually when I sit back and spend time looking at it, it'll be a massive benefit.
It's like
for all of us, for all of my customers.
That's another thing, it's like earned media value. Like, I just go back to that example of, like, we would pay, you know, like, PR companies to get us featured in X amount of blog articles a month, because we know that will drive awareness to our website. Same thing, just use influencers to get a sea of content that people will be seeing and then coming to your page, you know, driving awareness to your own brand.
And what are you seeing in terms of influencers? Is there a big step change in, because obviously it's becoming a career for these people?
Yeah, it is. I think we quite like position ourselves as, like, get them in early, you know, like these super enthusiastic, passionate content creators, new to the game.
Oh, God.
And they'll hopefully use our app to kind of, I guess, you know, be matched to loads of hospitality brands and work with them over a few years, grow their own following, and then they'll eventually graduate, leave us.
Graduate from the Jolly App.
Yeah, most get so big that they then start to go, well, actually, do I quit my job? Because I'm earning so much now that actually if I did this full time, I'd be, you know, like, doubling my money, so to speak. And that does happen. And we'd encourage them to come and use our app to kind of grow. And
it's kind of similar, though. It's like a junior manager who's passionate and good and isn't quite that expensive yet because they don't really know their true value. You're kind of in the same path, aren't you, that you've got this person who is on the teeter, like the 8,000 to 80,000 person, kind of like, you can see, well, actually, they're going to be all right.
Yeah,
let's get them early.
What I think hospitality brands probably underestimate, not everyone, is that, like, these micro and nano influencers have full-time jobs, so their spare time is, like, effectively being a social media manager.
Yeah.
So when they're getting, like, 50 invites a week, which is not a bad problem, by the way, they're like, they don't have a lot of time to kind of do.
So they're being selective potentially as well.
Yeah. And get booked in, and then kind of, like, it's a nightmare. And that's kind of where we came in. We're just trying to make it super quick, on demand, more choice, and just get connected to brands and booked into that venue just a lot quicker. Just